Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Delphine Andrews and Kevin Davis, both from my home state of North Carolina. They are a couple. Delphine has SMA, and Delphine and Kevin met in early 2020, and we got to meet at this year's Care SMA conference. And so excited to have you both on today. So Delphine, Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Kevin's got a good name, so easy to remember. But yeah, awesome. Well, before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. Whether you are living with SMA or are the parent to a child with SMA, make a choice today that could impact your future. Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, so Delphine, we'll start with you. If you could just tell a little bit about your story and what it was like for you growing up with SMA.
Sure. So I actually grew up in Virginia, and I grew up in a pretty big family. I was the youngest. So I was diagnosed at 18 months with SMA through a muscle biopsy. And I ended up going through, my parents sent me to a Montessori school. So it's a little bit more interactive. It's less traditional. It's not sitting in desk. And for me, that was great. For me, that was super adaptive because I was able to kind of crawl around and slide around and move around when I was younger. And so I had a lot of independence and things like that. I think overall my upbringing was good. I think, you know, my parents and my family was all about getting out and doing things. We went hiking, we did whitewater rafting. You know, there was a lot of things that we did that I really value. And yeah, I think, you know, there were things in my kind of teens that I think were more impacted by my disability, just because it's hard to be a girl in your teens and it's when you compare yourself. So that was kind of a lot for me to deal with. And it's just been about learning how to be comfortable with who I am and, you know, knowing that that's okay and that that's actually good. And that that's how I'm going to be the most successful and the most happy, is being as true to myself as I can be. So that was kind of my quick thing of my upbringing.
That's great. And then Kevin, what about you? Tell us a little bit about your story and just growing up, family life, anything you want to say.
I grew up here in Central North Carolina, fairly normal upbringing, went to NC State, as we've discussed in the past, graduated with an accounting degree, worked several state jobs for various state agencies, primarily audit side account work, and decided that I wanted to transition out of that as a career, enrolled at Motorcycle Mechanics Institute. Down in Florida, COVID hit and everybody was just doing the lectures online. I met Delphine and decided that I wasn't going to go back down and finish the program in Florida. I think that we have both valued the time that we've already spent together, and I feel like developing this relationship to me at this point is more important than finishing that program. So I wound up getting a job at the local Harley Davidson dealership, and that provides me a lot of freedom, thankfully, to be available for Delphine when she needs me, lunches, things like that. If a caregiver was to call out, you know, I have the flexibility at my job to be available for that. That's kind of, I guess, a quick version of me up till now.
And he's sure. An only child, which has been me coming up, growing up with lots
that's,
of siblings.
And that's been a big difference. Child. Sure. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's a, Delphine has opened my eyes to a lot of things that, that have been very interesting. She has a much different life experience than I do. And it's been great to see things from a different perspective. I think that's really provided a lot of value to me personally. So.
That's huge. And yeah, it's funny you say that too, because I'm the youngest of three, and then but I have several close friends who are only children as well, and you like learn things from each other that way. So that's huge. And Delphine, before we delve into your relationship, can you talk a little bit about your career and kind of what you do now and how you got to that point?
Yeah, so I ended up, I went to UNC, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for undergrad.
It's all good. We'll edit. No worries.
She kick her out, maybe.
We've had dogs and babies and everyone make guests stars on the podcast before, so it's all good.
She's got to guard
the house. Yeah, anytime. Yeah. And guard Delphine. When she was a puppy, she would sit on Delphine's feet plates and just growl at people that would come by. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. You know, I was living in Virginia, and so where I was going to school was about an hour away. So went there, kind of first experience living on my own. I did live with my brother for a good bit of it, until he moved out later on. So I did that. I worked for a little bit. I kind of worked in nonprofits, is what I really liked doing. I was dealing a lot with graphic design, but also just kind of administrative work and things like that. And then went back to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill to get a master's after working for about 3 years. And that I got in, it was through their journalism school, but it was a strategic communications concentration. So, you know, it's funny when you go into school and you have this idea of what you want to do and what you're going to be, and then you kind of get out and try things, and it's interesting to see where you end up. Because when I was in the program, I was very much thinking I wanted to be on the creative side of advertising. I wanted to, you know, be coming up with the campaigns. Ended up working for an ad agency, an ad firm, kind of out of school, and it really didn't mesh with who I was and what I wanted to be and what I really believed in. So from there, I went and worked. There's a local museum here that's kind of a zoo/science museum that I've known about, been in the area since I was a child, and knew I wanted to work there. And so kind of kept my eye out, reached out to people I knew, and ended up getting a job there that I really, really did love. I had it for 3.5 years, I want to say. Did a lot of communications, fell back a little bit on my graphic design experience and things like that. Eventually moved to a private Montessori school in the area. You know, kind of having the Montessori background was really helpful, and it was where my nieces were going at the time. So it was nice to think of being kind of close to them. Moved to that and took on a role as director of communications. So doing all sorts of things, social media, writing. I serve on the leadership admin team. So we're kind of making the decisions as far as the school and operation practices. And COVID was a huge thing that we were all trying to figure out together. So yeah, and I've been there. Unfortunately, my nieces, I got the job, and within a month, they announced that they were moving out of the area. So they're no longer there, but it's still been a pretty good place to work. It's good people. It's, you know, a good mission, and it's close to home. And I've been there since 2019.
That's great. That's awesome. And yes, we'll definitely talk about the effects of the pandemic. I know that like this plays into your relationship too. So getting into your relationship, I guess, Kevin, we'll start with you. So where were you, a two-part question, where were you at when you met Delphine, and then how did you meet?
I was in Raleigh, and we met online. The other thing that I guess is relevant, and I certainly wanted to touch on as part of this podcast, was I had I didn't plan on us living together as quickly as we lived together. Now, it turns out for me anyway, and I'm assuming for you, I hope for you, it's turned out to be kind of a blessing in disguise, if you will. It just kind of worked out that way. I've got a house in Raleigh that I'm renting. I was at the time in another property that has since been sold. I am still renting the other property. My thoughts at the time were to fix up the property that has now been sold and just kind of have that be a place that I live. My son's home base is, and for the rest of his school time anyway, until he goes to college, my son's location will be my parents' house. He's got a fairly great friend group, and myself, I moved around a lot from school to school. I didn't have the same friend group from elementary to middle to high school. And so when I saw the opportunity to have that for him, I decided to, provide him with that opportunity if he wanted it. And so his home base will be my parents' house. But as I got into the relationship with Delphine, it was really relatively quick. I'm trying to remember how long it was that we, but you wind up spending the night over, but you're not living there. And then, it just really, we found that it worked better if I was here. The mornings, the nights, they just went smoother, as I'm sure you and the people that are listening to this podcast are aware. Individuals with SMA, there's a process surrounding going to bed and getting up. And you were having some problems with some caregivers kind of early on in our relationship, finding steady help. And COVID probably played a large role in that as well. But really early on, we just found that it was easier for me to make this my home base. And I wound up getting a job in Durham, which worked well. And so that's kind of how we got, I guess, to where we are. Hopefully I'm not rambling too much. But yeah, with the care provider issues early on, partly due to COVID and partly due to just the help that you had and were able to find, I guess there was a pretty significant shortage in care providers whenever COVID hit. It just worked out better for me to kind of be here. And I think I don't see us modifying the arrangement now. I think we're far enough down the road where I think we're both pretty well happy with the current situation. Is that fair to say? Okay. Hopefully that didn't ramble.
No, you're good. That's great. And Delphine, at the time when you and Kevin met, like, were you looking for a serious relationship or expecting one, or how did it just, kind of happen?
I think I was looking. I was online. I think throughout my adult life, I've kind of gone, looking and not looking, looking and not looking. I've been on a lot of dates with a lot of guys, and it's just, so I've been through that process, and some of them have been okay. Some of them have been honestly downright terrible. A lot of times it can be, kind of a jab to your ego, I think. Knowing that we live in a society that's, has very strong internalized ableism, and knowing what that means, especially on a site that's kind of got to be out there. So yeah, I think it was. I kind of had a rough year before that and just felt like I did a lot of growing and kind of figuring out who I was and what I wanted. And at that time, I did feel ready. I felt, I guess healed enough and ready to get back out there and try to find someone and just be me and see what happened with that. So.
I had also pulled myself kind of out of the dating pool for quite a while before I met Delphine. And I think I had been on maybe like one other date before we had gone out. And then I don't know, when I met Delphine, we talked a long time on the telephone before we met in person. And then kind of things just clicked, I guess. I don't know another way to describe it. I just, really from our first conversations, could tell that you were somebody that I could take a lot from. And, we've talked about that. And, that's it was, I don't know, it just hit, So.
That's great. And I want to talk more about, the evolutionary relationship and the caregiving aspect too. Before we do, if everyone could please listen to another brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. If you're living with SMA, the subtle changes that happen from one day to the next can be hard to notice until a key function is lost. Many people find that these changes can impact their life, not just physically, but also emotionally. Since the progression of SMA is relentless, taking action now is important. If you've waited to go on treatment or were told there were no treatments for you, now might be the time to talk to your doctor. Breakthroughs in science have led to more options than ever before in treatment and care. Choosing a disease-modifying treatment can make a difference. Why wait? Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, so Delphine, Kevin mentioned, that he evolved into the caregiver role pretty quickly, both due to circumstances and then I imagine your comfort with each other. And I know this is a topic I discuss with every couple I have on the show regarding views toward a significant other being a caregiver. I know some couples who their significant other is their only caregiver, others who prefer to keep that totally separate, and then others that are kind of in the middle on that. And so for you, what was it like gaining that trust and inviting him into that role, at that point in your relationship?
I was definitely reserved. I was definitely
Oh
nervous
yeah.
about it.
Yeah,
I
for sure.
was, kind of like, I don't know about this.
Yep.
It wasn't something that I was like, I want this to happen. I was
Right.
kind of like, I want this to be separate. I don't want it to evolve into this. And I didn't want it to, and yet I knew if I was looking for, a life partner, that was going to be part of it inevitably. Like
But we're
that was
still
just,
using a blended approach. I mean, I don't
yeah.
want to, I'm not taking care of all of the
No,
care, providing needs by any means.
no. I mean, you're not. And it was, I think for me, it made it easy because it was him. Like it made it easy because it was never anything like, I mean, a lot of people are very familiar with what it's like when you explain that you need help doing things. There is a tone of voice. There is a kind of pity that goes with it. There's kind of another like undertone of, oh, how hard or something like that. And with Kevin, it always like, okay, I mean, that makes sense. So what do I do? It was very, I mean, in ways it was healing. Like it was healing to be able to have that experience with him and know that things weren't, an issue or it wasn't, there was nothing that I needed to be embarrassed about is what it made me
Right.
feel, or ashamed about of who I
Right.
was and what I needed.
Yes. I feel like even at the start of us getting the, I feel like you've become more accepting of yourself even during the short time that we've been together.
Yeah, because
You're
it's
right.
been because of you.
Right.
So,
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
you give me much more than I give you, but I guess that's neither here nor there. I've certainly told you that before.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Well, and Kevin, for you, what was it like as you, Delphine, got to know each other, just learning the nuances of SMA and disability?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know that I've given that much thought. It was, I mean, to me, I guess, and I'm speaking to you to Delphine here. I mean, you've always just been Delphine, and yes, you have a disability, but that's not, I mean, it's an aspect of you that's there. I don't know. It's been interesting to learn about SMA. I mean, I like to look at things from the Spinraza injections, things like that. Like that stuff's kind of interesting to me, I guess. So it was, interesting to learn about to learn about those things. Certainly had no idea what SMA was before I met you, but as far as I did do I guess some research, but not a lot after you and I had kind of got together. But that's not something that I've given much thought to, I guess. Hopefully we'll edit this
Sure.
part of the
No,
conversation.
it's all right. I was great. Well, I'm thinking too, also this year, obviously, Kevin, it was your first SMA conference, but Delphine,
Yes.
was this your first one as well?
Yes, it was.
So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that from each of your perspectives, because that's really cool that that was both your first. So Delphine, do you want to start talking about the I'm referring to this year's Cure SMA conference, which was the first one in person since the pandemic. And so it was a lot of people's first time, actually. So what was that experience like for you being just surrounded by a large portion of the SMA community?
It was interesting. I mean, it was, everything there was good and there was bad. It was kind of wild for me to see so many people that, move like me that I didn't feel like I had to hide anything or, I'm still not to the point, and I know a lot of people that deal with this better, of being looked at, of being watched. And it still bothers me. Even living with it for 39 years, it still makes me uncomfortable. And so knowing that I was in a place that no one was doing that, it wasn't like I was standing out in any way. I was just kind of able to be. And there was a lot of great things and learning a lot of great things. I have a tendency to compare,
Right. I was going to
which
ask
is
about that.
compare and despair. And so I'm meeting, there's all sorts of people, and there are people there that are amazing, are astonishing, and who have accomplished so much. And it's kind of like,
I feel like that's why you were down those first couple of days of the conference, because you
yeah.
compared yourself to others and were saying, oh, I haven't done enough
Yeah.
myself. Right. I
It's
was going to ask you about that.
a little bit of comparing myself and seeing other people, because it's not like, I think it, I'm many ways as proud disabled woman. I have a disability. I recognize it. It is part of my identity. It's part of who I am. And then there's a piece of you when when you start doing self-discovery, you kind of notice these things in the background that you don't really want to admit to. And then you kind of have to own up to in order to face it and address it and move on past it. And in the back of my mind, I, spent my life comparing myself to other people. And in the back of my mind, I knew what I was saying because it was what other people were saying to me, which
Which
is,
is what?
well, they don't have a disability. So it was kind of an
Wait,
excuse.
right. So you're talking about comparing yourself to other people without a disability,
Yes,
right?
to
But
my friend
even
or
amongst the SMA
I know I'm
community,
getting.
oh, okay, sorry.
So yes, it was like, well, they don't have a disability. So it's like, oh yeah, so that's why this isn't happening. I'm not dating a bunch of guys because I have a disability. I'm not super, I don't know what else, super fit and attractive and all these things, or at least what I think is attractive, because I have a disability, And so then it's going there and meeting people that are in many ways doing the things that I would love to do as far as a career and, writing and being advocates and being out there and doing speaking engagements. It kind of took away that excuse. And then it was like, so maybe it's just me, which was the painful thing to address. And then
Right.
it's kind of reminding myself at the end of that that everyone has their own story.
Right.
We're seeing the one side of things when we go there, and everyone has their own issues and everyone has their own strengths and their own things to be successful about and to be proud of. And I think Kevin a lot of times works to remind me of the things that I've done, because I do say a lot. I hear people say, especially if they have a disability or someone with a disability, if I can do it, anybody can do it, kind of thing of having a disability. And my gut response is, no, they can't. I was like, I can do this because I worked at it, because I had the initiative to do it, because I had the talent to do this. This is not something anybody can do. I did it because I'm me and I was able
Right.
to.
And you're a complete you. That's what
Yeah.
I talk with her dad about, actually. You because some of our difficulties, some of and not between you and me. I just mean life. Everybody has difficulties in life. And I guess that's a good way to put it. Everybody has difficulties in life, you know, be they have, you know, if they have a disability or if they don't, you know, and you, that's what I'm talking about. You are a complete person. You had that initiative. That's separate and apart, you know, from you, the fact that you, you know, have a disability, right?
Well, see, this is where we kind of diverge a little bit, because he's very much about like, you have this, but like, I feel like my disability, like it's not separate. Like, I don't feel like you can separate it out.
And you can't. And one of the things that you said to me that was great, I thought at the very beginning of our relationship was, you know, forget or don't look at the fact that I have a disability if you want to, until you try to take me on a date where the only way to get up to this rooftop dining area is via stairs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's something that's there, but I guess, and I still don't think I've explained myself right, because in addition to having a disability, you're a whole human. And all of us, I think anyway, unless I'm an outlier, which is entirely possible, have, you know, moments of dysregulation. We have, you know, times where our thought patterns are not, quite frankly, I guess, the healthiest. Mm-hmm. And so in addition, you have all of those aspects of being a human, and then you also have a disability, you know?
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think the way to put it is, there are more commonalities between the human species than we think that there are. And whatever we're going through is not unique. It's not, and we're not alone in it. You know, we're just not.
And Delphine, that's one of the things, you know, I talk about the fact that she's provided me much more than I could ever provide to her, but is helping me see that, you know, we're all, you know, going through the same thing. You're not, you know, alone in your, you know, experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which has really helped thinking about life that way.
Yeah. So. I mean, as far as the conference though, it was kind of a roller coaster. It was all, I mean, Taylor Swift, hi, it's me, I'm the problem. You know, it felt like that at the conference, and I was super grateful and excited that I went. And I hope that I can kind of get out of my own head at the next one and embrace it even more, because it was an extremely valuable, it was a great experience. And
no,
when I could enjoy it, I really enjoyed it.
Right, and the content was great. I really enjoyed the breakout sessions that we were able to go to and that I was able to go to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just, I really do think though that bit of dysregulation, if you will, just relates to, you know, you being human, you know, I mean, and it's all right. Yeah. You know? Everything, we made it, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I think overall we could say that we had fun.
Yeah, we did.
I'll look forward to driving instead of flying to the next one.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that one later.
Oh, absolutely. The joys of traveling. But I'll just say to you, I'm glad you're the one to drop the Taylor Swift lyric, because I've been listening to the album on repeat and I didn't want to just like randomly find some excuse to drop in there. So I'm glad you did, because I don't have to replace
it's just me. It just speaks to who I am as a human.
It's such a good song. It's so relatable in so many ways.
Big Taylor Swift fan. Yes.
Oh yes, that's great. Well, well, hey, you just mentioned the traveling, so you want to talk about that? And this also leads to another question too. I'm curious. Feel free to however you want to answer this, but in the past couple of years of your relationship, have there been any really hilarious stories that have happened? Like, I know Shane and Hannah, they deliver plenty, but do you have any on that, whether it's related to traveling or anything else that you want to share, that you just had that really moment to laugh together?
You know, it's funny. I mean, there's two parts to this, first of all. So it's funny because I did a lot of like what I thought was preparing Kevin. You know, I thought there was, I'm like, look, dating me means random people are going to come up to you. They're going to ask random questions. And maybe it's a pandemic. Maybe it is a slight, I will say slight, shift in culture. It hasn't really happened. You know, it's, people have been much more accepting than, like, I thought that people would never assume that we were in a relationship together. And It seems like most people
I
just
think they
assume
do,
it,
yeah. And
you
maybe
know?
it's the way we interact together, but I think most people assume that we are for sure.
Yeah, so we haven't had any of that. I mean, I'm not naive to think that it will never happen. I've got my own story, you know, throughout my life of inappropriate comments, of, you know, those types of things, but it hasn't really happened with us together. And I don't think Kevin would be too happy about it when it does. So we'll see how that goes. To the person, I mean. He's not very good at holding his tongue if he does not agree with somebody. So we'll see. But as far as just like the funny things, I mean, I kind of scare him a little bit because I am like, let's do it. Let's go. We're
Oh
going
gosh, yeah.
down this trail
Right.
that is covered in roots and we're going to the side of the
See,
creek. And that's what's happening. And we're just doing
right. Oh my
it.
gosh, I
And
forgot.
I've almost fled
Yeah,
several
I
times.
forgot about some of those early adventures because we didn't do it so much this past summer. I guess we got busy. And I was actually thinking I'm the one that got you out of your comfort zone to go out because you're always, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this or that. And I'm like, nope, we're going to go do it. And you always have fun whenever we go do it. One of the examples there was going to Franklin Street after Carolina's win. That was fun. But she's right in the sense that we used to go on some pretty, I mean, I guess dangerous trails. The only time that I had to take the control, we were demoing an off-road chair, and we were at a waterfowl impoundment just down the street from the house, and we got in a pretty rough situation where I really thought we were going to flip the chair,
It was a drop off. I mean, one
right?
wheel was
And
off over the drop off.
that and what river was it that we made it to the
The Eno River, it's a river in Durham.
right,
And it's just, and I
and
was
that
like,
was
we got this. And he was behind me and he was like, you didn't see that you were
right because
half a centimeter away from falling off of the edge of the thing.
right those trails weren't paved, and they certainly I don't think would be labeled as accessible, but we
Oh
made
no,
it.
not in any way, shape, or form.
No, those are some fun times. And we tried to hike out to a overlook somewhere, and the guy had to
It
help
was a
us.
waterfall. Someone had
Even
to come and help pick the chair
this
up.
is something I never thought about, but even trails that are marked accessible, there'll come a point in the trail where there's a small lip, a step up, that if you're running an easy lock, it's too big to get the chair over. So in order to make it to the overlook, we had to get just a random guy on the trail to help lift the chair, and then she could back off and get down fine. So we didn't need any help getting off. But yeah, I forgot we used to do all that stuff. We should go do some more of that, definitely. But those have been some of the interesting experiences. And then I'm trying to think any other times that we've just laughed. I mean, there's been times where we've had some sick animals, and in the middle of the night, there have been some, pet
Oh my gosh,
disasters
that was,
that, and I don't feel, I'm an early to bed, early to rise type of person, and Delphine keeps me up pretty late. And so there were nights where I was definitely just irritable and tired and having to get up and deal with those animals. And then, when we get back together after it's all said and done, I think we have, just, oh gosh, what a time that was. But made it through all of it. So
But I'm sure the other stories will come. I'm waiting for the person to pray over me, so we'll see what happens from that.
it's funny too, because I have like still plenty of friends I've known for a while who haven't really been with me in those situations. Others that haven't, I thought one who we had already been friends for 3 or 4 years, and then he was a part-time caregiver for me in his last semester of college, mainly driving me to appointments and stuff like that. And he got to witness at it was actually at my PT clinic when this woman came up and was like, so do you ever think about walking? And and I'm like, and I mean, I'm so used to all those, but and his face was just like, what? Like, I mean, so that was his first time, seeing that scenario play out. So I'm sure it will happen, but it really is a matter of, and I do think you're right that there has been a slight, not dramatic, but a slight cultural shift. And I don't know if that's due to more disability influencers on social media getting more attention or what it is, but there, and you know, there has been an increase in media representation, not still not the dramatic shift I would like, but there is, I think, glimmers of hope there that people's attitudes are shifting away from completely ableist stereotypes.
I will say in a positive sense, like he is still not used to this. Like, you know, we go to places and he's like, oh, they're not going to let us in. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see if we go to clubs or things. And, you know, not only do they let me in, but we don't have to pay.
Oh, yeah, we missed the
and
line.
And I'm like, this is how it is, you know, to come with me. Our people will, you know, I always get him to get behind me in a crowd because, like, people will look at him and be like, dude, step around, you know, and me, they'll move for us. So there's funny things like that that I always talk about, like, you know, stick with me, I'll get you in. Type things because I will, like, he's not used to people, you know, me just smiling at someone and them smiling back or, you know, saying things. And
right. Oh.
And I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I put a lot of that on, oh, they're only doing it because I have a disability or right. Someone compliments me or honestly, some weirdo hitting on me in the street. I'm like, oh, it's a disability. They think, you know, they're trying to make me feel better.
Right.
Which you have kind of challenged a little bit, but I think some of it still is a disability. So.
Interesting. My thoughts on that are, do you think that people interact with you differently whenever I'm there with you? Have you noticed that at all or not really? Some of the, you know, people not coming up and making certain comments and everything. I didn't know if you thought that was to do with my genuinely gruff nature.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I do feel like there have been a couple of times where people will talk to you and then you're just like, Kevin has ADHD, so it's hard sometimes to focus. So in a busy restaurant where there's lots of stuff going on, I'm like, I got this, you know, right. And I'll order for us.
Yeah.
So there have been times like that, and he just, it's kind of like.
There was a specific time like that with a healthcare professional that spoke to me instead of you, and I was kind of taken back from that. You know, she was in the room, and certainly I deflected the conversation to you. Do you remember that instance that I'm talking about?
I'm sure. There's been so many in my memory that it's hard to, like, pick out.
Yeah.
And
one more funny thing that I did want to mention was, do you remember getting caught in the rain? And we, this was after you had the car before, but you couldn't get wet. And so we wound up having to hide in a accessible port-a-john. Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was a good time.
No, I know this story. You weren't with me. I went to the doctor, and it was a doctor at Duke, very prestigious, you know, hospital, very prestigious university. And I had taken my father with me because my father is a doctor and sometimes just he can get responses that I can't. So the guy said some really inappropriate things, but the worst one that Kevin loves is, you know what I like dealing
oh
with
God.
Your kind?
I forgot about this.
You're smart. I mean, at least as smart as you were going to be.
Anyway.
And so every time I do anything that he thinks is partially clever, that's what he'll say to me.
That's true. I just couldn't believe that somebody said that to you.
That's actually a new, I mean, I've gotten plenty of, that's a new one for me. Wow. I know this is an audio podcast, but listeners can't see my mouth dropping here. But yeah, that's a new one. But it is one of those things, either like more appalling a comment you get, you have to kind of take it with a humorous lens. You just, you know, sometimes it's the best way to cope with it. I mean, they're unacceptable, but it can turn into a fun joke amongst each other, you know, when someone says something like that.
Yeah.
But that is, that is just appalling.
Yeah.
But no, those are some good stories. Like I said, it's those, you know, those little things that come up, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more as your relationship goes on. This has been so far a really great conversation. I know we're kind of wrapping up here, but I know you've touched on it, but if you could each talk a little bit about what your daily life looks like and between work, caregiving, just walk us through. Delphine, if you want to start, and Kevin, feel free to like add anything into your role and work?
I think some of that changes, and I know you had talked about touching on it, but I think some of that changes with the care providers that we're able to have at the time, which is, even during the short time that we've been together, ever shifting.
Yeah, I mean that is, it's true. It's and I feel like, I'm constantly looking for care providers, which I feel like is a standard.
Right. And the reliability of the care providers. We've got a really good one in the mornings now, and so that has enabled me to have more of a schedule in the morning. Whereas there have been times where there was no telling whether or not the individual was going to show up. So I used to go 2 days a week to take my son to school in the morning, and again, he's based at my parents, and I would cook him breakfast and take him in, but the care provider that we had during that time was just not reliable. And I think maybe there was one day where I had gone ahead and left to get there and they didn't show up. And then it was kind of like, well, we don't need to get in that situation again. So I just scrapped doing the mornings. But if you get somebody reliable like we have now in the mornings, I think that makes a world of difference, at least as far as me being able to get up and get out the door and get to work and feel comfortable that you're going to have, done what needs to be done.
I think it really depends. I mean, we wake up, and I get ready in the morning and he kind of does his things. And I think it makes a big difference if it's someone that I can vibe with. The person I have right now, we have a lot in common. We can talk about different things. And I've had that with a lot of people, and a lot of my really good friends have kind of come through that way, because I feel like pretty instantaneously if you're going to vibe with someone or not. So if it is someone like that, then it's a fun morning. We're listening to music, I'm getting ready, I'm doing all that stuff, I'm eating, making sure to take a Brizzy, all of those things. And then, whether he
And
goes to work or not, he's
right.
gone. And
Some of it too has changed with the addition of that Sure Hands lift
yeah, I
with the
got to get a
ceiling
new lift
track. Because I
system.
used to stay in order to do the toilet transfers in the morning because of some of the care providers couldn't do that pickup
Yeah, the
transfer.
newer
Right.
ones.
Once she got off the toilet and in back into the chair, they could do the morning routine after that, the stuff in the mirror, the brush your teeth, all that stuff that needs to be done. But I would be here for that part. But now that we've got the Sure Hands lift, I mean, Hazel can basically take you from in bed to ready,
Yeah,
and I don't have to worry about, making sure that part of the process is done.
that's a really nice addition
Whereas when
to
we had
them.
Azucena, we weren't able to do that.
There were a lot more problems than that with
Well, there were, but I mean,
them.
the transfer, I needed to be there for that aspect of the morning every morning. Whereas now that's a little different. That's freed up.
So that's kind of, and I'm lucky enough. I mean, there's not much in walking distance of my house, but my job is, which is awesome. So we can normally walk up
That's a huge
there.
deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal for me, and it's close to home if anything happens. Kevin normally comes for lunch. That's one thing that we like to do, and he normally gets it, and then we go and we eat. He's familiar with pretty much everyone at my job. My job all knows him. It's kind of like he's part of the gang.
Yeah, when she has office outings, let's say on a Friday, they don't ever mind that I'm there, just with Delphine kind of hanging out. They've
And
certainly
having
been
you.
very accepting of me being there, without a doubt.
And then typically he comes, I mean, I always tell him care provider in the evening can come pick me up. And I feel like you kind of make it a point to be like, no, I want to do it,
Well, she can walk to work, and that's true, but she crosses a pretty busy street in order to do so. And it doesn't currently have a crosswalk at the crossing, even though it's a school. I guess it's not a public school, so that's how it doesn't
Oh
have a
no, it's a
crosswalk yet.
whole other issue,
Right.
but
But there's a safety concern that I have with her crossing that street, so I do want to make sure that I'm there to kind of flag traffic. And it doesn't have a curb cut on the other side, so it's not like you can go clean across. You have to follow the road a little bit. And that day you demoed the off-road chair was nice because you were able to hop that curb and get right up there. But with no curb cut, no crosswalk, I mean, it can be a fairly dangerous journey to walk to work, actually, even though it's nice to be able to do so.
Which I, so I just don't tell them when I do it myself.
Right, yeah. Which is fine until something happens
Well,
and
everything's fine until
then
something happens.
right.
But anyway, so that's what he does. And then with his son and Garner, there are a few nights that we're at home. He goes and does that.
And then she'll come
Few
with
other
me.
nights, and then I try to go once a week, depending
Right.
on kind of my shower schedule, because that takes up a good part. And then, we go to bed, and normally other people help me. Kevin will do it on the weekends.
But the
And then
job,
we fight animals to try to find place in the bed to sleep, and then we
yeah,
sleep if we can.
that's true. But the job I currently have, being flexible on the hours, is very helpful. I was actually talking with Delphine. This is, I mean, a semi-serious, I guess, piece of conversation. But we've discussed because I don't think it's feasible for me to stay where I'm at long term. This is, something that, was available in Durham. So it makes it close in that regard. And they're very flexible on the hours, but I've never had a position prior to this one that I've been able to do the things that I've needed to do. I mean, they kind of know up there, if Delphine needs me for something, even if something's going on at work, I'm gonna leave and be available for her. And there's certainly been jobs that I've had in the past where that flexibility would not have been there. And so as we discuss what my next steps are professionally, that's something that we've had to keep in mind. How much do we want to lose this flexibility, versus what are we willing to sacrifice to keep it? Those are thoughts that have certainly been, I think, in the back of our heads as we look at my professional development. Her, I think you feel pretty good with where you're at, and I mean, you're able to do a lot of work from home, which helps. I don't have that opportunity with the current needs that I'm meeting for that
Yeah.
organization, but you're able to do a lot of work from home, which helps because it does. I mean, I don't think. And I think you would agree, and maybe we could adjust your schedule so it could be true, but sitting at your desk with your feet on, under the desk at 8 o'clock every morning, that's not gonna.
It would be tricky. I mean, it's
Right.
very tricky for a lot of reasons to get,
Right.
and it is a struggle on the few cases that I have to get there early in the morning. It's nice to have a job that they're very flexible, and I haven't always had that, and I think it's a good group of people, and it's not every position at that school can have that, but the position that I have, it's kind of like, we know you have work to get done and get your work done and
Right.
contribute, and we'll be flexible and step in where you can, kind of thing, which I've really appreciated. So
I think
that's
that's
great.
an important thing for I'm assuming that other couples, where interabled couples where both are working, I'm assuming that flexibility is a big, requirement for anyone in that situation. But
Yeah, or we can just all strive and probably not make it to be Hannah and Shane and be able to work our butts off, but work from wherever we want to work. So that would be amazing. But yeah, right now it's a little bit more structured. And which works. I mean, it works for what we're
we
doing.
made
So
it work pretty well, I think.
yeah.
That's great. Well, and just wrapping up here, my last question is just for both of you. Do you have any advice or message you want to share with listeners, whether it's about relationships, about living with SMA, anything you want to say, closing out here?
There's nothing wrong with you. I think the world, and I remember asking this when I was feeling particularly down. I was like, is it possible? I was, because Kevin's telling me there's nothing wrong with you. This is what happens. This is life. You're not lesser. You're not, and doesn't mean you're not gonna live a fulfilling life. And I remember asking him, and I was like, is it really possible, though, for an entire society to think something that's wrong? And his response was, yes, it is. So I think that's something that's really important to remember is there's nothing wrong with you. You're not less. There is no normal, and try to be as true to yourself and know what you want. And if you do nothing else, and you take my own advice, stop comparing yourself to others. You're basically comparing your worst day to their best day, and it's not fair. It's not possible. Be kind to yourself, and keep at it. Like, don't assume what people are thinking about you, and don't assume that even if for a woman, if 75% of the guys are complete jerks and doing something, and writing you off or not treating you well, that there are people that will see you for you, and will take the time to get to know you and will listen to you and will see your beauty and who you are, including your disability. So.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Her light shines bright. I've enjoyed basking in it. I would say, enjoy yourself. Delphine and I have been through a lot in the short time that we've been together. We lost my cousin, who was, Delphine's age. And I believe that was the first person that you actually met in my family. It just reminds me, you're not here for very long. One of the things that I admire about Delphine is she aspires to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's something that's a quality within her that I really respect. Just enjoy a little bit of life, in addition to, understanding that we all have to, take things on in order to go forward. We all have bills, and we all have to get food, we all have to eat, we all have to, do things in order to survive. But in addition to, performing the tasks required, try to have a little fun as well. And I hope that we do that. At least a little bit.
That's fantastic. Well, Delphine and Kevin, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been a great conversation, and look forward to having you again and talking more. So,
Thank
yeah,
you.
thank you. It was great.
Absolutely. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more conversations and stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and check out our main site at smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.